Business Matters, in association with Donegal ETBs for their education and training service, developing the Donegal workforce in one of the most critical and fundamental digital skills of our time through its spreadsheet programmes.
Hi, I'm Kieran O'Donnell. You're welcome to Business Matters. My guest this week is owner and award-winning designer at Hoku Balance in Chrysler, Cathal Sheridan. A keen surfer, Cathal explained that the Balance Board production company started out initially as a hobby.
So originally it started off as a hobby for myself. I grew up a surfer and I wanted to make a product that would help me improve as a surfer. So I made a quite a crude version of what you can see now as a Hoku Balance Board. Made that, tested it, saw an improvement in my surfing. Made some more, given to my friends, they saw an improvement. So I'd say at that point I just kind of had it as a hobby though. So, you know, I went back to study industrial design after the recession. And it paid my way through college. Went and, you know, got some experience in the design world in Dublin. And in 2018, I decided, right, time to make a business out of this. So did more research and, you know, contacted local enterprise office for advice, created a business plan, got a plan together. 2019, got a new website developed. I redesigned the original product and created several new designs. And then in October 2019, we launched the new brand and the new website. Great notions for the 2020 in late 2019. We'd set up to go to a lot of events to really get the word out there. We went to Wellfest in 2018 actually, and then we went to an event in February 2019 in Dublin. And that was supposed to be the first of many, but obviously things changed. So we had set up the website, and we had very much my idea of having an online business was always the lead. Kind of in the business plan. So fortunately, when the pandemic hit, we were already in good place to get our product out there. So 2019, it became a year, quite an unexpected success for us. You know, it propelled us probably a year ahead of where we wanted to be. Slowly, you know, took off. I suppose you should say that I was working as a freelance designer at the start of 2020. And then when the pandemic came in, my business, my freelance work slowly shut down. And it was just very obvious to me at that time to go for it with Hoku. So I packed my bags in Dublin, moved back up to Donegal, which in itself was a great thing to be able to do, and set up here where we're sitting now and took on my first full-time hire, started working about on getting the word out, starting, you know, improving production lines and all that. And we had a pretty steady year and it was very exciting, you know. And then we were working, we got some great feedback from people. We got in newspapers around the country, we got, you know, and even in Donegal, and it all helped grow us. And then in November last year, we got on the Late Late Show. And that just took us to another level. Within a week, I had to take on 5 more lads in the workshop in production. That really propelled us, and we had a fantastic end of the year. And that end of the year then really set us up for growth this year.
So at the start of the pandemic, Cathal, what way was your business set up, and how many people had you employed at that particular time?
So it was at the start of 2020, there was just 2 of us. There was myself and, funny enough, a guy I grew up with, Enda McFadden, he's a carpenter. He had been off in Australia working around there, and he came back and he was doing his own thing, but he was, you know, he didn't know what he wanted to do and what get into, but he decided he was happy to help me out. So we were both in the workshop, and then I was over here every other day, and, you know, kind of juggling production and design and accounts and all of that. So as the business grew, I had to come over here more to the office. So as a case, right, it was time to take on more people. And with that Late Late Show appearance in particular, I was able to take on 5 lads for Christmas, 5 production personnel. I was thinking if I get to February with all of them, it'll be great. But the plan was to only have 2 people for the year. But here we are in July, and there's 5 of us, so it's going pretty well.
Cathal, were you surprised at the sudden increase and rise in business back in March and April of last year?
It was definitely more than we expected. Now, the previous year we developed a new site. We developed a marketing strategy, so we were on the right track plan-wise. I just didn't expect as big a reaction from people. So we're probably twice as good as we were expecting to do, which I suppose brought a certain set of problems, all welcome, but a certain set of problems about stock and, you know, enough people to make stuff and enough people to put things in boxes and so on, you know. So there was definitely a learning curve last year.
So talking about boxes, we had a slight break in recording when your courier service collected some boxes and took them away. You were telling me there's not a day goes past, Cahill, that there are boxes being delivered every day and being picked up here every day. Where are they going and where are they bound?
Yeah, I suppose since November last year, there's maybe been 4 or 5 days that we haven't had a send a board out or a parcel out. The vast majority are Ireland and the UK. It's an interesting one. We get a lot of orders from Scandinavian countries and we don't know why. We're currently researching the why.
Have you a hunch?
Well, we just make amazing products, so they can see that. As with as a designer, I would always design a very minimalist, almost Scandinavian style of design. So when I did ask or inquire as to why they were buying from us, it was down to aesthetic and the quality, and also our Trustpilot rating. It's a 4.9 out of 5, so our reviews are actually really, really good, you know.
Cahill, just if we can go back to when you made your first prototype, I know you talked me through the process of where you're at from then to now. Can you go back and when exactly did you produce your first prototype of what you're producing now?
So the first one was actually back in 2008.
Right. It's a long time ago.
For a long time, I didn't believe in myself as a business person or believe in myself that I could actually run a business and run a successful business. So there was a lot of learning because I worked as a freelance designer in Dublin. I learned a lot working with different business owners. And I started then, you know, as I was becoming a successful freelance designer, I thought, well, I can do this. I can do other things if I, you know, go at it. So, yeah, so 10 years passed before I really decided to give it a go. And so it's funny, the first one I made with an old jigsaw, handheld sandpaper and a brush to lacquer it. Whereas now I have a CNC machine doing the cutting. We have full spray room. We have full screen printing facilities. So it's unrecognizable to what it was.
We're here in the office. It's at the back of your parents' house here in Creasley, and behind us is the stock room. Can you talk me through the layout of your premises here and what goes on in each area?
Yes. So as with my father was a contractor for years and he'd retired and there was a space available to rent. So that was actually very important to me that I do rent it. Because if I can't make a profit while renting a place, then I probably shouldn't be doing it. So I get a good deal, so it's not too bad. But yeah, so I have his workshop where our CNC machine is placed, and then upstairs is an old storage room. We renovated that started this year actually, and created our kind of production facility. So when the blanks come off the CNC, they go upstairs, they're sanded by machine and by hand. They go on to get softened with the router so there's no sharp edges, more sanding. Then we screen print with water-based ink. And then we take it from there. We glue up the stoppers on and different parts that need to be glued up. And then we do another final sand. And then it's into the spray room for 4 coats top and bottom of each product.
So what's the timeline from the timber coming in until the finished product going out the door?
So one product, if we were to do one at a time, it would you'd probably do it in half a day. So but we do it in batches of 10 and 20. So our ultimate goal is to make 400 products a month. If we can make 400 products a month, and more importantly, get rid of the 400 products a month, we're in a very good position to be here in 10 and 15 and 20 years' time.
Talk to me about your products.
So everybody has a core. We all depend on our core to keep us upright, to be able to get up out of a chair, to stand, to walk, to bend over. A lot of us sit too long now. I know I found it, but when I became a designer, I suppose I found myself sitting at a desk more and more, and lower back pain started creeping in. I went to the physio and I said, well, your glutes are weak, your core's weak, strengthen them up. So the balance board is a perfect thing to do that at home. I use it at my desk. I use the Lara as the Huku Lara, which is our newest product. I use that as a footrest when I'm sitting, and when I bring the desk up to standing position, I jump on it, and I can do that whether I'm taking a phone call or just having a chat. At home, any of the balance boards are great to be for use as that, as something that can help develop and strengthen your core muscles. So it doesn't matter what you're into. You know, it started out me wanting to improve my surfing. But as I got older, I realized that people need core strength for a lot more than just that. So that's where the range of products came from. So the original was the one that was, for me, all about getting my surf and snowboarding and whatnot up a level. But then the core fit came along. As I said, it's a bit easier to use. It's a bit better for people who are maybe a bit older or they're not into sports and they just want to activate that core and stretch out. And so when you're on the board too, your posture is quite important. You want to have a good posture when you're on it. So it teaches you to have that good posture instead of slouching, like we all find ourselves after 8 hours on the desk. Ultimately, it's all about strengthening your core, developing your coordination and proprioception. Proprioception is, yeah, I know my finger is right looking at it. I can touch my nose. So you know where you are in space. That's very important in children. It's something they need to develop at an early age. And that's where our Ulu board came in. We launched that last October and it was a great success. It's fantastic for kids because there's a puzzle in the board. So not only does it teach them about balance and developing their coordination and proprioception, but there's also a problem-solving game in there, so it's fun. So, I mean, right from when we're starting to walk until we can't walk anymore, we need a good core. So that's something that really is at the core of the business.
And have you plans to develop further products?
Yes. So at the moment, we're working on our skateboard line. We're developing some kind of fun skateboards for people that just, they're not high performance, they're just fun, and they're old, I suppose, old school traditional 60s style. So they're going to be quite aesthetically pleasing. And again, they're made from hardwood. So they're just a bit of fun, I can say. We're looking at yoga products too. We have yoga mats and yoga blocks made from cork rather than plastic. So the cork tree is an oak tree in Portugal. Every year they pull the bark off, which is the cork. That bark grows back. So every year they harvest the same trees, and they've been doing it for hundreds of years. They turn that cork into yoga blocks, yoga mats, and different products like that. So we're working with a factory over there at the moment, and we're hoping to launch something in maybe later this year or early next year. We're also working more on developing a line of children's products. The Huku Ulu, which is the children's board, was very, very successful, and a lot of parents have been asking what else we can give them. Because I suppose it's something that the kids do that's not TV, it's not a computer game, it's something that gets them active and it gets them focusing, which is, I think, important. A school teacher from Krista who works in Letterkenny, actually she works with kids with different needs, and she uses them for really centering them. If they get stressed out, if they get a bit of a panic attack onto the board, it really centers them, focuses them on one thing, which is staying balanced. So there's a lot of different areas we can go into. I think our biggest challenge now is making enough of each product. The lads in the workshop don't like me coming over with new designs because it means they've got more work to do. So over the next 5 years, we'll definitely be launching a lot of different products.
Have you any idea how many products you've shipped out so far? Roughly?
Since October 19, we've shipped out almost 4,000.
It's a lot of units.
Yeah, yeah. And it's been it's something I couldn't have done without growing the team.
Yeah, and are you basing your plan on increasing that over the next number of years?
Definitely, yeah. We want to get to like 4,000 a year, and hold at that for a few years. Get a sustainable business plan built around that number, and then grow and grow and grow. This was the one thing I didn't think about when I was setting all this up, is what it can actually do for a community and developing jobs.
And there we'll take a break.
Do you need to upskill your tech or engineering staff? Donegal ETB's Further Education and Training Service can support you to do so with Prince 2, Python, Azure, Java, C# and MS Expert Training. Contact Enterprise Engagement at donegaletb.ie or call 074-912-0500.
You're welcome back. Before the break, Cathal Sheridan spoke about the positive impact creating new jobs in his native Chrysler can have on the locality.
I myself worked in Dublin for years because there wasn't any work here. Enda, one of the guys in the workshop, he worked in Australia. He worked in different places. Enda now is a young family and he gets to live in a village he wants to live in. Jubal is another employee. He was a chef, still is a chef, but he's been helping us out since late last year. He also has a young family and they they all really want to live here, so they can. So I think it's quite an honor to be able to do that. And I never really thought about it until I was the one employing someone. So like to anyone who has a business and they're able to give that, it's, I think it's a big deal.
Yeah. I do sense there's a great sense of pride within yourself that you've managed to do that, to go away, come back, set up a business in your own hometown and be part of it as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't have time to think about it too much, but when I do to step back and think about how far we've come in a year, it's amazing. And like I said, like how many people in Donegal work in Dublin or in Galway and Limerick and might want to work here. That's the joy of online or e-commerce. If you can come up with a good product, it doesn't matter where you are. As long as it's a useful product that solves problems, people will buy into you. Your ideas.
And been lucky to live in a place as nice as Creasley.
Well, that's it. We're only a stone's throw from the beach and it's a nice quiet beach most of the year, so hard to beat.
Cal, tell me, where did the name of your business come from?
So,
and how is it pronounced properly?
So Huku is, if nobody can see, but I'm going to point behind me, there's a painting behind me. It's in the well of the great wave of Kanagawa. The artist's name is Hokusai. He's a Japanese block print artist from the 1600s, I think. I was given this as a gift years ago, and I always had it in my bedroom wherever I was living. It hung in my bedroom, and I was coming up with a name. I had a rule that it needed to be two syllables. It needed to be easy to say, because it could be said in France, they'd be able to pronounce it, in Germany and in Ireland and wherever they would be able to pronounce it. So, Coca-Cola was something that has something like that, two syllables, and I was looking at the print I had, the name of the artist was underneath, and it was probably 3 a.m. one night, and I was staring at it, breaking up his name into different pieces, and it just broke it up. Huku, 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 Huku. So Huku, wrote it down, went to sleep. So next morning I started researching, what does this word mean, or does it mean anything in another language? Because the last thing I want to do is insult someone. So I looked and looked, I couldn't find anything, and eventually found in Japanese it means to breathe out, or to exhale, which we all like to do, is just like to just relieve that stress. So I thought that was perfect, because it's what we want to do is to create a bit of fun. If you're exercising, you can jump on the board and you have a bit of fun while you're doing it. If you're having a stressful day at work, jump on the board for 5 minutes. It takes the edge off, you know. So I thought it was actually perfect. The pronunciation then, I thought I got it spot on, and a lot of people do say it correctly, but a lot of people, especially in Donegal, say hookie. And I've heard hookah as well, which is a pipe for smoking. So I don't know what those people are at. But so there's a bit of fun there, though, with the pronunciation.
It must give you a real sense of satisfaction of producing something that's adding to people's value in relation to their health and well-being.
It's unbelievable. It took me a long time to get used to it. I'd meet someone and I'd tell them what I do, and they're like, oh yeah, I saw your board at a friend's house. I was on it. They're great fun. I mean, you're not talking about my product, are you? So it took me a while to get used to people saying that. But, you know, I mean, our reviews are always 5 out of 5, you know. Whenever I talk to someone, they're really happy with what we're doing. They really want to support us and they want to see us succeed. So we do have great support from our customers and from our community, really.
So how important are those reviews at this stage of your business?
Look, I suppose with growth now, we're looking to develop more of a UK sales channel. And people who find us, they can rely on Trustpilot. Trustpilot's what we use for our reviews. And that's worldwide, that's known. So as long as those reviews are true and honest, which Trustpilot, you know, they're the standard for this. People can believe that and they can trust in that. If they can trust in that, that they begin to trust in us, you know. So those reviews are very important to get into new markets.
You mentioned the local enterprise and the help and support that they gave you. What did that consist of?
Yeah, so I suppose at the beginning I went to them just for advice, because I wasn't sure, could I do this as a business? You know, if you're thinking only Irish, the Irish market, and can I sell these to create a sustainable business? I was unsure, so I went to them and they were very, very supportive. They were very positive about my ideas, and they kind of got it into my head that it's not just Ireland you're selling to. If you're online, you're selling to the entire planet.
Was that something that you found difficulty grasping initially, that you were going to be selling to a worldwide market as opposed to a local or national market?
Yeah, but again, I think that was down to confidence. It's like, why would someone in America or France or Singapore buy a product of mine? But they have, you know. We've had products go to Hong Kong, to Australia, throughout Western Europe, South America. So, you know, it's been amazing. And yeah, so I guess I needed that push. And they were full of advice. They're full of knowledge. And also they were there to support financially. So the first thing they made me do, I suppose, was develop a really structured business plan. And that's great for them, but it's also great for me to sit down and go, okay, yeah, those are my targets now. I have to now meet those. Because when you're your own boss, it's very easy to just kind of get lazy. So, but I had set my business plan 4 or 5 years and I had my targets. I presented my business plan to the local enterprise office and they believed I could do it and supported me financially with the business priming grant. That business priming grant allowed me to employ my first employee and it helped with marketing and it helped with the development of the new website as well. So it was actually, you know, it was a crucial part of the plan.
And is your plan on track?
We're actually ahead of schedule, at least a year ahead of schedule, you know. We had a fantastic Christmas season and like I said, it helped me create more jobs. I didn't think I'd have more than 2 employees at this stage, but there's 5 of us now and I'm hoping to take on another 2 employees before the end of this year. So we're definitely ahead of schedule, but that's just given me more excitement and more drive to really reach the next stage.
Cal, sustainability is a big part of your business and what is your contribution in this regard?
Yeah, no, it's very important to us because as I was working as a product designer over the years, I developed a lot of products that are made out of plastic. I developed a lot of products in the exhibition design world that were single use, one weekend only. And you'd see that exhibition stand that you designed on the Friday going up and on the Sunday evening, it was an event and skip. And that's every week by how many exhibition companies are out there. And you know, it's an important thing to do, go out and exhibit your work. But I just thought if I'm going to create products, I shouldn't go that route. I should be able to create product that isn't harmful to the environment, that's not going to cause long-term negative impact. It's actually, can we do the opposite? Can we create something that's good for the planet? So based on the original board that I had designed, there was like oil-based lacquers, plastic stickers, even the packaging, something simple as bubble wrap. I went back right back to the beginning and looked at everything again, started redesigning the board, found an FSC certified forestry to supply us with our material. So they're managed forests. They plant more than they cut down every year.
And where do you source your timber from?
Our material is Baltic birch. And the reason we choose Baltic birch is because it's a much stronger material than anything you'll get in Ireland because of the slower growth season. So the long cold winters create a stronger wood. So it's a stronger material. You can use lighter material to get to create the product. So we source it from Latvia and Finland. So that was the biggest challenge. From there, then was the case of our graphics, which are, they have to go on with a water-based ink rather than an oil-based ink or plastic stickers. So we had to learn screen printing. And that was interesting again. All the guys got to learn screen printing, so we're getting pretty good at it. Then the finish is a water-based lacquer. So it's a low VOC lacquer compared to a high volatile compound lacquer. Again, that's just cutting down our carbon footprint. It's cutting down the harm we put out there. The grip on the board is actually locally sourced as well. It's off the old mine in Muckish. It's just runoff from if there's a heavy rain, the old mine just washes down silica and it's very pure.
So it's nice to have a local raw material in the production.
Yeah, yeah. And we take very little. That takes one bucket, it'll do us a year, like, you know. So, but yeah, so that was the board. And then we looked at the packaging. You know, it's something as simple as using a plastic tape to seal your box. It's like, no, there's alternatives out there that are made from recycled paper and, you know, water-based glues. So
that's quite a transformation from what you started out using to what you're using now.
Yeah, big time. It's a big change, but to the untrained eye, it's still the same thing. It's just there's low carbon emissions attached to it. We also plant a tree for every product we sell, and that puts us from a carbon negative to a carbon positive product. So we're actually absorbing more carbon from the atmosphere than we're putting out due to the tree planting and the material selections.
the tree planter could be busy.
Hopefully, yeah. I'd love to be able to develop a huku forest up here somewhere, if we can get a bit of land.
So where are those trees being planted at the moment?
At the moment, it's with a charity. They'll plant them wherever they can around Ireland. And also, we have a choice to plant them in South America or in Africa. So they at the moment, they're kind of spread out throughout the country and throughout the world. But ultimately, it'd be fantastic to develop a full ecosystem up here based on regenerating wildlife in certain areas.
Do you feel other businesses could do more in the sustainability area?
I think they have to, yeah, definitely. It's and then a lot of businesses want to. It's just the knowledge on how to do it. You know, I know there's a couple of haulage companies in Donegal that are looking into how can they offset their carbon. And I think tree planting is the simplest way of doing it, because a tree captures so much carbon over its lifetime.
Your background and your past as an industrial product designer, Cal, has served you extremely well for what you're doing at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. It's a combination of that plus having been a cabinet maker pre-recession 2007, which is a while back now. I trained as a cabinet maker and worked as a cabinet maker in Galway making fine furniture. And 2007 came and we all know what happened. So I got kind of lost at that point, and I always had an interest in design. Didn't really realize you could do it as a job until I went investigating more. So I studied the 4 years in Carlow IT, and that combined with my cabinet making skills really helped develop what you see before you know. I mean, the number one, like one of our main brand pillars would be quality. You get an excellent product from huku. Every single product we make has to be excellent. And it's sustainable, it's excellent, and it's aesthetically pleasing as well. So it's not something you want to hide. I mean, we're making display stands now, as you can see. I put up a photo of one of the display stands about 3 months ago, and I've had nothing but people messaging steady since. The reason we haven't launched them yet is because there's a worldwide shortage in birch at the moment due to last year's kind of shut lockdowns worldwide. A lot of the factories stopped producing, but a lot of people started doing DIY last year as well. So it's become extremely difficult to get. So that's the reason we haven't launched it yet, in case anyone's waiting for it.
What's the best lesson you've learned so far in business?
You can't do it on your own. There's no such thing as a self-made man. Even if you've paid someone to work as part of your team, they've helped you get to where you are. You cannot do it on your own. And I was very, very lucky that I have a fantastic team around me, from our website development to the guys in the workshop, to our courier partner. They're all making it a little bit easier to make this a success.
And if you'd followed your childhood dream job, Cal, what do you think you'd be doing?
Making stuff.
So you're on course.
Yeah. I'm not physically making it anymore. So I do enjoy designing products. I do enjoy problem solving a product and developing a production line. So I'm quite enjoy that. Not so much the accounts and taxes, but you know, that has to be done too.
And what advice would you give your 21-year-old self?
Definitely believe in yourself more. Don't listen to the people who say you can't do it, because they'll always tell you that you can't do it no matter what.
Did you hear that at 21?
I heard it a lot. Yeah, 21, 31, and beyond. So believe in yourself. If you have an idea, go talk to someone who's done something similar. Talk to someone who started with nothing, built it up, and has succeeded. There's a lot of people out there who've done that. The people who tell you you can't do it, that's grand. They're looking at life through their eyes, not yours. So have a bit of self-belief and go and talk to people who've done something similar.
And finally, Cahill, what does the future hold for yourself and your business?
Well, all going well, we'll be here somewhere. We'll have outgrown this place. We'll hopefully in the next 3 years have grown to a stage where we have to build a custom facility, and we're shipping product all over the world. We have a huku forest growing at the back of the workshop, getting bigger and bigger every year, and just everyone's enjoying their time at huku, making products, enjoying their family life, enjoying going to the beach after work and whatever else they want to do.
And that was Cahill Sheridan, owner of Huku Balance in Chrysler. Well, that's our lot for this edition of Business Matters. Thanks to my guest Cahill Sheridan, thanks to Kenneth Wilson on sound, and thanks to you for listening. If you'd like to get in touch with the programme, drop an email to businessmatters@highlandradio.com.
Business Matters, in association with Donegal ETBs for their education and training service, developing the Donegal workforce in one of the most critical and fundamental digital skills of our time through its spreadsheet programmes.